Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Sylvain Cyr as my special expert guest. Sylvain is an elite personal trainer, genetic exercise analyst, course conductor, and exam preparation tutor. His list of personal training credentials is extensive. Sylvain is certified with the British Columbia Recreation and Parks Association, the American College of Sports Medicine, the American Council on Exercise, the National Strength and Conditioning Association, and with the BCRPA as a trainer of fitness leaders. Sylvain believes in strong professional and work ethics, high standards of service, and is committed to educate and help people achieve their health and fitness goals. Sylvain is a sincere, hardworking, focused, and dedicated professional who specializes in delivering exceptional service and results to his clients. Good morning, Sylvain, and welcome to this month's edition.
Good morning, Corey. This is an amazing introduction. I've never heard so many letters behind my name. It's an alphabet soup behind there.
This is the gravy, underlying which is the substance of which you have so much integrity, and I know that for sure. Sylvain, for those who don't know you personally and would like to know a little bit more about you, let's start with some personal insight. Maybe you can tell us where you're from, a little bit about your background, and how you got involved in the field of personal training.
Of course. Now, it's a change from what I currently do, because typically I ask questions and people talk about themselves. So it's really weird to talk about myself. But let me share a little bit about me. I am proud to say that I'm a 53-year-old male, fit, lean, with a metabolic age of 12 years old. And I'm keeping it that way, whether the body likes it or not. I'm refusing to age. I'm not in denial of the time, but, you know, try to fight gravity as much as I can. I'm well. I feel I have achieved somewhat of a balance, not in all aspects, in many of the aspects of wellness. You know, like when we talk about emotional, physical, social, intellectual, I feel like I'm at 53. I'm getting some kind of a grasp of where I should be. I'm happy. Right? A big part of it is to do with what we do most of the days, right? Most days we work. I'm really happy with my work. I was born in Northern Quebec in a small town called Sept-Îles. My parents both lived there, still alive and still very engaged into life. If anybody taught me how to move, it was my parents. I have a brother and a sister. And I moved to Montreal eventually to complete my study in the chemistry and the kinesiology. I eventually moved to Vancouver 18 years ago. Now, funny enough, I cannot shake the accent. I still speak funny after almost 20 years, right? I take it to my advantage, and some clients find it really exotic to have the French Quebecer talk to them. Whatever works, right? Personal training and fitness coaching was my first love. In my 20s, I was a group fitness instructor in Montreal. So that means that, you know, in the winter, all the Quebecers get into the clubs and we work out. So 30 years ago, in my 20s, yeah, that's 30 years ago, I loved the primetime teaching. I was involved in, you know, introducing the step, that box that we put in the middle of the gym, and it said, go up and down to music on that thing, right? That was something that Reebok hired us to do around the Quebec. And then I also had a chance to be a co-host in a 30-minute fitness show that we taped in the Dominican Republic, you know, with the palm trees and the girls and all that thing. They were running that at lunchtime. So that was my first love. I was 20 years old. It was fantastic. I did that for a couple of years. I became serious. I became a chemist. So I let go a little bit of the fitness bank as far as teaching is concerned. And then I became a realtor in Vancouver. You follow life, right? So after a few years of being a realtor, I think I saw the light. I was spending a lot of time in the gym. And I feel like eventually I was ready to take the leap of faith and started to work with people at helping people have as much fun in life and at the gym as I did. I never looked back. I got my certification. I got a few certifications, right? And I took the plunge. And like I said, I just never looked back. After 9 years of training clients, I think on a daily basis, and on the weekends, I was offered to become a course conductor, which allowed me to put a little bit of what I've learned over the last, 33 years of pushing dumbbells. You learn a few things, right? Sweat equity. If I could share a little bit with every trainer of tomorrow, well, that's kind of my legacy, right? I love what I do. And I think people like the way, there must have been some really good article at one point because he seemed to respond well to the training of the French Canadian. Yeah, so I do that. I train during the week. On weekends, I teach. And then do I have time for social? I said I was balanced. Maybe the social part is not there. But hey, I'm happy with what I do. It doesn't feel like work, right? That's about it. God, I gave you the whole speech.
That's a whole lot, man. That's a whole lot to work with. That's fantastic. Sounds pretty good to me. Sounds really good. Okay, now let's talk about the field of personal training. Okay, you said that you love it. You discovered it. It discovered you. What about people looking on the outside, maybe thinking about doing this? What would you tell them what the potential for this field is?
Let me go back a little bit and talk about some of that originally. And what some people have a perception on personal training is that we're all greased up and we wear little tank top. And then we get around the machine and point the machine to the client. And some people think that we basically can only count to 12 or 10 and then 12 months of the year. Well, it's no longer like that. We have to provide a little more guidance to our clients because they're coming in a different way that they used to come in as far as getting the services of the client, right? Movie stars used to hire personal trainers before. They made a lot of money, the personal trainers. They did videos. They did some personal training sessions at an exorbitant cost per sessions. They made a lot of money in the 80s, but then eventually I think the role evolved to more of a, we needed to take a more active role in the gyms. There was a need for us to start providing some guidance, some support, some resources, some training and education to the clients who are showing up less healthy than ever, more obese than ever. I want to say not really functional, deconditioned, and often injured, right? Not completely rehabbed. Yeah, the time of counting to 12 months of the year is now gone. So if anybody wants to enter the realm of personal training, well, they need to understand that there's a little bit more to it than just the basics of isolation training. These days, if I may, the client, you need to get to earn their trust, right? So that's going to be probably about showing them that you're certified and that you have somewhat of experience, but then you can relate to them in a really good way. I think it's important to also understand that we need to evaluate the risk and their readiness to initiate the physical activity. We need to assess the client on day one, the client, the current fitness, on different aspects, right? We need to get a clear picture of what's going on with the client. And for that specific, I want to say, list of appropriate assessments. And I think that's very important. I don't think that many, that all the trainer used to conduct assessments at the beginning or throughout the training period. But I think it's quite important for you to verify if your program are efficient, but also to show the client that he's making some progress or not, no progress, right? So we assess body composition, we assess static posture, functional movements. We often assess the strength, muscular endurance, and then the cardiovascular fitness. One thing that we should never neglect, assess the flexibility of the client, right? From that, we present to the client developed a well-thought-out, personalized program that is dealing with any imbalances you spotted, right? Dealing with the nasty, regress them most of the time so we can progress them later, but always towards their ultimate goal. So goal setting is going to be a very important part of what we do. Trying to be as creative as possible to see what can help or what situation can limit their ability of the client to reach their goals. So you understand that they have an ultimate goal. And most people these days are so, I want to say, instant gratification and have no patience that they want results the next day. So a big part of our job is to make them understand that there's a certain safety to respect and also effectiveness of following some rate of change. If you lose the fat too fast, expect to gain the lean mass that quickly, right? I might have gone into a little bit of a detail thing there, but as far as having a grasp on what we actually need to do as a trainer, well, there's a lot more behind the scenes before you actually start to train the client that we need to do to make sure that you're doing the right thing, right? The goal is to basically tell them what they need to know and not what they want to hear. Of course, there's some qualities that the trainer the need to possess, like diplomacy, of course, right? Once you've got the client to agree to some of the laid out a series of process goals, right? The goal is to get them to enjoy the process and not always obsess about the end product. The client probably will fall back into the old expectations. So we need to review those objectives on a regular basis and remind them of what will happen and what to be expected over time, right? I also want to say that our job is to create, as we initiate the training, I think our job is to create very positive training experiences. And most people, they want to get started too hard and too fast, and they can't sustain that much change in their lives. So behavior change is a big thing, but they need to actually start a little crawl before they run, I would say, right? To complete what some of the roles that we have, we need to create and formulate activities that are pleasant, that are positive, so the client feels like they're actually competent and they can commit to it on a regular basis. You know, some of the biggest problem is adherence to programs when you start too many times, frequencies too high or the intensity is too high. So we need to gauge it depending on the client's maturity at the gym, right? But I think that it's one of the things you have to be very sensitive to. Now, as far as where we're going as personal trainer, well, as far as where the industry goes, well, in most of the surveys that I've read in the last few years, personal training is it's still on the top 10 of some of those the trends of the fitness industry. The personal trainer is not going anywhere, which is a good thing to hear or to see, because where else am I going to do on the third career, right? But also we're producing all those trainers, but they're not going anywhere. There's going to be work for all of us for a very long time. They're predicting that by 2020, there should be another increase of 24% in the personal training jobs around North America. I can also say that in some gyms, the personal training income for that gym represents up to 42%. So that's a big part of people going to the gym more and more, right? If I can say anything about what we need to do as personal trainers to stay on top of things, I want to say that, first of all, it's essential that you get certified with a smart certification company or organization. You also need to keep your certification with continuous education credits. That's going to keep you on top of your game. That's going to keep you engaged, focused, and always, I want to say, renewed with that information. And also, eventually, get more familiar with the specifics of a niche market, like the older adult or the youth or even the pregnant ladies, right? Or something like I really like to do, weight management specialization, right? Technology, well, you know, there's a lot of gizmos coming out on the market. I think you still need to stay on top of those new apps, the ads, the gadgets, right? So you can basically give some guidance to the client. As far as the career stability, I think that the more educated you are, the more stable you're going to be. And you become part of a health team. We become an integrated part of that team. I think that at the beginning, maybe people were not considering us as much, but the more we get educated and the more impact we have on the client's daily activities, we have a good influence on their behavior and often on the results, right? So either on the preventative side, also on the repair side of things, right? The post-rehab part. I think that if you develop some assessments, some way to connect well with the client, to understand the client well, to cultivate and then to implement programs in a very sensible way, I think you're going to be successful as a personal trainer. It's not enough to be ripped anymore. I think you need to show an amazing internal drive, smart compassion, intelligence, understanding, and also a great personality. You know, something has got to differentiate yourself from the other 20 trainers that are there. Not just your skills, but also who you are. People will connect with the person, and that's the relationship that's going to last for a very long time. That's my thoughts on how you're going to stay in your career. Never put the books down, stay connected, and then be client-centered.
Very, very good. Wonderful. Very deep, heavy, and expansive. You've answered 20 questions just in that presentation alone, which is good. I want to get to a couple of other ones. You describe yourself as a genetic exercise analyst. Tell us what you mean by that.
I've learned over the years. I've read a bit about it, and I experienced with the training different clients. You know, genetics, I feel like depending on the environment you put the body into, I feel the genes respond to the training and the environment you put them in. You may be stuck with your brown hair and blue eyes, but there's a lot of things we can change on the genetics expression, I think, just by changing the environment. I don't know if you agree with that, Corey, but if you look at what mama and papa gave you genetic-wise, and if you have a tendency to be an endomorph, well, if you change the environment, it's possible that you might change the way the cells behave and influence your ability to gain so much weight just by looking at a piece of cake.
Of course, I agree with that. Absolutely. I mean, that's the great news, Syl, that epigenetics and environment. Yeah. Somebody said that genetics is the gun and environment is the trigger, right? They both work together. But yes, this is the great thing. This is the good news about our field, right? You can change your expression, like you're saying.
It's coming from the nutrition and also what we impose the body so it can adapt, right? I did some reading on it. I tried to follow the leaders in there, but then it's pretty nice to see it applied and then what works and what doesn't work, right? So you develop some protocols of training over time. That's why sometimes people come and see me for metabolism failure or disorders, never mind on the fat cell metabolism side of things or on the muscle cell metabolism side of things. That's why we try to express by exercise genetics, genetic specialist, right?
Yes.
Over and over again, Corey, when you impose a certain style of training to a body, it will react and it will adapt. His question is keeping the consistency and adherence to the protocols, right?
To me, it's as simple as either being in or out of shape. And if you're completely out of shape because you don't train and, you know, you have a very poor diet, it's like saying, well, there's nothing I can do. It's absolutely ridiculous, as opposed to a clone of you that did the opposite, who'd have an entirely different outcome. Yeah. So, yeah.
I hear you teaching all the time in my head when I have those clients that are playing the victim.
yes.
You know, there's no excuse, my friend. You can only lie to yourself, but I know what's what, for sure.
Yeah, and you can't lie to nature. Nope. She can see right through everybody, can't she?
Yep.
Now, tell us about your connection to InfoFit and how you actually met Della and Andre.
Well, I first met Della and Andre, to be honest, on a seawall. They have the same breed of dog that I have, Weimaraners, right? So they have two and I have one. They had theirs for a long time and it was my first dog. So I met them on a seawall. And I knew they were in the fitness industry, but I wasn't sure what they exactly were doing on the west side here in Vancouver. So I decided to take a leap of faith and I show up on day one, and who do I find that's welcoming me into the class with, isn't it, Della and Andre? Well, I was floored. I was walking into a safety zone, for sure, at 45 years old. They charged me from day one. I'm a product of the school. Everything I've learned, well, I've learned, I don't want to neglect, disregard the 30 years of pushing dumbbells. You learn a lot by yourself, and you win the 45-pound plate, I always say. But I've certainly realized the principles of training and the training strategies that are effective from Andre. Andre took me under his wing after I got certified, but during the course, they charmed me on day one. Their personalized instruction, the way they teach is so engaging and so creative and so fun that for an adult to go into classroom format and learn about the bones, it was like, oh my God, I've looked at the bones all my life, for example, and I never retained any of them. And now in 20 minutes, they teach me all the bones and I have yet to forget one. And that just charmed me. I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing. So if everything is taught this way, I'm going to be the greatest trainer ever. So I go through the process, 6 weekends. And then at the end of the weekends, well, of course, BCRPA at the time was the only certification that was available in town. So then I was preparing for that. And part of the surprise of being so happy with the formation is that they offered me a job. I never left the school right after I finished. So they offered me a job with the promise of being certified as a personal trainer. At that point, Andre took me under his wing and created a clone of himself or close to it. That's a big shoes to fill. But he tried to teach me. I've been sucking every bit of the knowledge that he could share with me in order to become one of the course conductors on their team. I was really honored. I was very surprised. But I was really happy because I was getting a bunch of clients and a full teaching load on the weekends. So I got a lot of hours right away. So I'd made the right choice. And I was really happy that they recognized that there was some potential in me teaching people. I never considered myself an educator. Of course, I have an opinion on most things, but I never thought I was going to share or actually teach a group of people on how to weight train or how to design programs, right? But this is one of the most satisfying part of my job, for sure. So involved with them, been there for 9 years. I love it there. They create a really cool environment to work with. They are supportive. They're challenging. They are always upbeat. Well, you know them well, right, Corey? I feel like I'm at my place, and I hope that I'm going to stay there for a very long time, of course.
We need you to be there, for sure. I think the whole world needs you in a lot of different ways. You know, your talent is unquestionable. So it's just wonderful to have met you. And I would aspire to tell anybody to meet you and seek you out if they want to learn what a true personal trainer, a genuine trainer, is all about. Now, the website for InfoFit is infofit.ca, and your bio is there. And of course, all the information pertaining to you and the courses and
all the courses and the personal training services, and also the resources that we have, the connection to CSNA. You know, we haven't talked yet about the nutrition and fitness, the impact of nutrition on fitness. I don't know if we have the time for that, but for sure, there have to be a little conversation on that between the two of us. But so far, it's been a monologue, really.
Well, we're limited with time, and it's coming to an end. I try and hold these things to about 30 minutes, right?
Has it been 30 minutes?
Yeah, but you know what? If you just went on and on and on like you've done, I can sit there and listen to you, because your way of expression, it's like a healthy gene. It's very functional. It's clear. Your accent is not an issue. It's quite pleasant to listen to. You know what you know, and the knower listening to you knows that, and I feel really comfortable. But I'm going to ask you one final question.
Yes, sir.
That will sort of pinpoint, I think, something that is quite remarkable about you. Now, you're 53. You know you're living in a sea of people. Let's keep it to that age group. Other men, let's keep it to your same gender. Okay, so obviously, the majority of men, say, living in Vancouver, are not putting in the time and energy into looking after themselves. They're busy working, looking after their families, but they're not training and they're not eating clean.
Yep.
So I want you to tell us, what is the difference between you and them?
I never gave up. I had somewhat of a form before, and I was smart enough to ask directions and help. You know, guys in a car, they will never ask for directions, right? So they will try to pick information from Paul that learned it from Joe, that learned it from Adam. So it's not always the right information, really, when they try to apply it. So it doesn't really work. So they gave up because they don't see results. So if they were smart enough or humble enough to go and ask for help, like a personal trainer, like an authority in fitness, so I don't care who you ask, well, a personal trainer is a good idea. Then you might have all the tools you need to start something that might actually bring you back to where you were earlier. You know, but don't give up, man. It's like you train like a warrior or you don't train at all, but there's no in between. And you can't have all the success you want in 1 month, the 20 pounds in 1 month and the ripped abs in 6 weeks. It doesn't work. Plus, it's not a lifestyle. It's just going from one point to the other. So try to find out what kind of things you need to do from the people that know. And then you might be able to incorporate that into your lifestyle. And if you put it into your lifestyle, it won't be so hard to do. And you'll see eventually results. And that's going to keep you on top of things. Training with the right intensity so you don't get hurt like an idiot. Training efficiently so you actually see results. And then, you know, you defy aging. The hormonal system will respond so well to the right intensities. So then you avoid starting to look like a woman. Growing things at the chest level that you start pointing, looking like a banana. It's like you got to maintain your manhood. So you got to push to rise the human growth hormones to get the testosterone going. And if you're not pushing hard enough, well, we'll get you to push hard enough. And if you need assistance from a naturopath to figure out your hormone level, well, we'll figure it. But just ask. Don't be so stubborn and proud, but just ask for help. How's that? For guidance to the guy that's letting go, right? That's the difference between them and me. It's like, if I look around on some of my friends, I go, dude, what happened to you? Aging? Probably. Inactivity? Definitely. But then, you know, like, why did you give up? I didn't give up and I asked for help. So there, that might be the difference.
Sylvain Cyr mm-hmm. has been my special expert guest on this edition of SNU. Sylvain is an elite personal trainer, a genetic exercise analyst, a course conductor, and exam preparation tutor with InfoFit School of Fitness Professionals. He is a pillar. He is a resource of knowledge and information. Sylvain, thank you so much for making the time. We really appreciate your contribution.
If I may quote you one more time, Corey, always say, eat as hard as you train. And the other thing I always say to my clients, you got to feel the steel. Drinks in my head. So I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to share some of the things I feel personal training is all about. And anytime you want to invite me over to chat about anything else I might have to share, please don't hesitate.
I won't. Thanks a lot, man.
My pleasure. Take care, buddy.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.